The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. Author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodeshim, shal elyon, the saints and servants of the Most High God. I'm glad to be with you here today, teaching God's Word, and I hope you're excited about it too. It's always good to teach God's Word. Your Word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you, it tells us. In Psalms 119, the biggest Psalms in the Bible, tells is almost always exclusively about His Word. It's a good Psalm to go through and read all of those. How important it is to have God's Word in your life. Yes, sir, we are in the spring Moedims. You know, I've mentioned before that Moedims means appointments of God where things take place. You know, and for instance, in the spring appointments, we know that Yeshua died on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, rose from the dead on the barley first fruits, Holy Spirit came on the wheat first fruits, and in the fall, we're still waiting for the fulfillment of the final fulfillment of those Moedims in the fall, which very well could be this year or next year. Times are getting close, you know. You never can tell. But I've written a book called The Signs and Times of the Coming of the Messiah, and that's an important book to understand what the Bible says about the times. You know, everybody just, they all jump to one scripture and says, nobody can know the day or the hour of the return of Yeshua. I said, that's absolutely correct. But he also gives us clues in the Bible of certain times to be watching out for. Matter of fact, all of Matthew 24 was an answer to the disciples' question, when will you return? And the whole chapter is dedicated to that. And then you have the sons of Issachar, who knew the signs and times, and they knew that what God's Word said was getting ready to be fulfilled about certain things. God's given us enough clues in His Word that we may see approximately when He's coming. You cannot pick a date, and you certainly don't want to, you know, go by those dates as far as selling everything you got and going to a mountaintop and practicing your rapture jump. That would be totally silly to do that. But He gave us a lot of clues, signs and times, of whether we're talking about jubilees or talking about 6,000-year concept or talking about the third day concepts. These are all prophetic words indicating a time frame. And so if you don't understand those things, you're not going to find it. You know, there have been a lot of people in the past trying to say, well, on this date, He's coming back, and it didn't happen, and they felt embarrassed, so then they recalculate, so I was wrong about the date. It's going to happen on this date. And then they're wrong again, and then they get embarrassed again. And they just keep going at it. You think they'd give it up after a while. I don't try to set a date or a time. I just go by what the Word of God says. And if it says, you know, watch out for the third day concept. Remember, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years if you're speaking prophetically. And so, you know, there's clues in there. The Bible says that when He returned back to heaven, that's Yeshua He's talking about, then after 2 days He'll be back again. So after He goes to heaven, after 2,000 years He'll be back. And so we know Yeshua ascended into heaven around 30 AD, so around 2030, and sometime after that, He'll be back. Well, that fits in line with all the other scriptures that talk about when He's going to be coming. So it's very important to understand that, you know, this is 2023 right now, and 2030 is only 7 years away. We still got to squeeze a 7-year tribulation in there. I doubt if it'd be right that precise, right on the money like that, but it's telling you the clues are there. This is why you see all these things going on in the world today, like when we're getting ready to blow ourselves up. Everything's going crazy with the Ukraine war and Russia and Iran on the edge of having a nuclear bomb. Matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, they told me they would have, I saw in the news, they would have one in a week. So they may already have one by the time you hear this broadcast. So things are heating up very drastically and very fast. And so the thing about Iran and their brand of Islam, they believe that they must send the world into war for their own Messiah to come back, their Mahdi or 12th Iman to come on the scene. Well, folks, I'll tell you one thing. If Iran creates a world war, and the guy that shows up after that and claims to be the Messiah, he will be the Antichrist. I can tell you that right up front. So, you know, people ask me all the time, well, what's the next major sign that's going to occur according to what you think the scriptures say? I said, well, the two witnesses have to show up, and then also the beast of Revelation has got to show up. The beast will be here prior to the rapture, unlike so many people teach that, like, we'll be out here before he shows up. No, we will not be out here before he shows up. We will be here when the beast shows up and the two witnesses are here. So the two witnesses, the beast showing up, and the building of the temple, all these three things still got to occur yet. But they're all moving in that direction really close. For instance, you know, they are uncovering the Pool of Siloam right now, and before long they'll be filled up with water. And that's really needed with the ashes of the red heifer. And lo and behold, they may have a red heifer to cleanse the land from the defilement of death to build the temple. So a lot of things are starting, puzzle pieces are coming into place really quick here. And it's that we live in exciting times, incredibly exciting times, but also very scary times. But it should not be so scary for us who have believe in the Messiah, because that's in whom we trust and whom we have our peace. And so, but these days are coming upon us really fast. Well, we've been talking about Passover. And Passover is extremely important, Moedim. This is the one where Yeshua died. Remember what I said last week? I said that in 24-hour period, and beginning in the evening, when Passover began, in the evening, he had his dinner. He went in the garden, he prayed in the garden, he was arrested in the garden, he was taken to trial, he was found guilty both by Herod and Pilate and the Sanhedrin, and then he was crucified. And they took him down off the cross before the sun went down, so in a 24-hour period, all those things happened on Passover. Remember, the next day in Hebrew always begins after the sun goes down. So that's why all these things happened in that 24-hour period. And then he was taken down as the sun was going down the next day at the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll be talking about a Feast of Unleavened Bread today. And so that's important to understand. But meanwhile, we're going to continue with some more information about Passover itself. It tells us in Exodus 12, verse 15, that on the first day, remember what I said before, that this dealing with like the unleavened bread concept, 7 days of unleavened bread. The first day is the Sabbath, and the seventh day is the Sabbath. There are eight other Sabbaths on the Moedims other than the weekly Sabbaths, and this is where people really mess up their time frames. So this first Sabbath of the unleavened bread is also known as Preparation Day. You can see this in John 19, verse 31. So in Exodus 12, verse 15, it says, on the first day, one believes he's to put all the leaven out of his house. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to purge the leaven, which is sin, from our lives from the day that we believe. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Exodus 12, verse 46 says also that one cannot break any bones of the Passover lamb. So as the family is eating the Passover lamb that's just been roasted with fire, They cannot break any bones. You have to be very careful. So you understand the parents are instructing the children and all the guests and everybody else, don't break any bones while you eat it. Eat the meat off the bones. And since Yeshua is the Passover lamb, and he had no bones broken, even though the bones were broken on the two criminals next to him on their crosses, because the high Sabbath was at hand. And that's important to understand, high Sabbath. I'll explain that in a moment. The Jews asked for the bodies to all be taken down from the cross. So the Romans broke the legs of the two criminals so they could not continue to breathe. But when they got to Yeshua, he was already dead. His legs were not broken in fulfillment of Passover, of the Passover lamb, John 19, verses 31 through 33. Yeshua had no bones broken because they already found him dead. Numbers 9:12 says, no bones can be broken of the Passover lamb. It also says that all the lamb must be eaten and none of it left by morning. Whatever can't be eaten must be burned. This indicates that we must partake of all the lamb. We can't pick and choose what we like. Everything Yeshua commanded, we must follow. So that's very important to understand that all of the Passover lamb must be eaten or the remainder burned by morning. And this symbolically is saying that we must partake of all the lamb. We must embody him. We must take him. We must digest him. In other words, digest all the words he has said. Put into play everything he said and be obedient to hear, to keep, and do. All these concepts that we see throughout the Bible, particularly in the Shema, Hear, O Israel concept. You know, to hear, to listen, to keep, and do. All these things we must do. So whatever Yeshua said we must do, we need to follow. That is partaking of the whole Lamb of God. We must follow him. Exodus 12, verse 48 says, when strangers shall sojourn with you and will also keep the Passover and is circumcised, they'll be as one that is born in the land. These strangers are Gentiles who chose to follow God, the God of Israel. Today, most believers are Gentiles, so God considers these grafted-in Gentiles as one who is born in the land. God sees believers as grafted in the Gentiles as grafted in spiritual Israel. You can read that in Romans 11, verses 17 through 24. Even if there is no bloodline to the Hebrews, because it is an ordinance forever to be observed, when we have Yeshua in our hearts, we are celebrating Passover always and are joined to Israel. And if we have a changed heart, a circumcised heart, loving God and the Messiah, then we are born again. It is into the household of God. So if you are circumcised, which is talking about repentance, and you're born again, and you keep Passover, which is, if you have Yeshua, you're keeping the Passover, you're considered as one born in the land. Now, this is important to understand. Now, you're not going to be able to march right over there and put in an application to be a citizen of Israel unless you are Jewish and can back it up. But it doesn't matter. That's why I've been over to Israel 14 times. And every time I go, once we land, it feels like I'm home. I know, I feel like I'm here, I'm home. As soon as the plane lands, you know, and it's amazing. And everybody on the plane and everybody else says the same thing on the buses. It felt like I was home. Well, it is. You are as old born in the land. It is something that's important to you. It's something that you adhere to. It's something that you desire and want to be part of all the time. So it is important for us to know these things, because, you know, spiritual Israel or grafted in Israel or actually part of Israel, whatever it may be that calls you to Israel. And to, you know, I knew as soon after I became born again and I started learning scriptures about Israel, I knew right away I had a heart for Israel. I knew immediately that I had a heart for Israel. I knew immediately that I wanted to be in that land. I knew I wanted to go there. There was something that was pulling on me to go to Israel, so I did. 14 times I've been there now, including some very long stints too. And so it's an amazing land. I'd go in a heartbeat if I could all the time, head back to that land. So yeah. So you got to understand, if you are born again and you have a circumcised heart, God considers you as one born in the land. Exodus 34, verse 25 says, "Do not offer blood of my sacrifices with leaven." This indicates that when we accept Yeshua and appropriate his blood into our lives, we are to live righteous lives and not live in sin. Do not call upon the blood of the Messiah without a repentant heart. Deuteronomy 16:5 says, "Passover is offered where he puts his name. Jerusalem is where God put his name. It's also where his son was offered." 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1. When Hezekiah became king around 697 B.C., he repaired the house of the Lord, removed pagan altars, ordered Passover to be celebrated throughout the land. He also invited the remnant of the northern tribes of Israel that survived Assyrian captivity. Many of the northern tribes humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So it was possible that all 12 tribes could have had representatives at the Passover in Jerusalem. The Levites had to help the priests in the Passover sacrifices because many of the priests were not sanctified. Verses 18 through 21 also tells us that the good Lord pardoned them all that prepared their hearts to seek God, and the Lord healed the people. And there was great gladness. So when the Lord sees you preparing your heart and you're calling upon him and your heart is toward him, he will heal you. He will touch you. He will do things if your heart is right for you. We read in 2 Kings 23:21, "When Josiah, the grandson of Manasseh, was king, Torah was found and read." This was an amazing story where the Torah was found in the temple when they were cleaning it up. And the priest came to King Josiah and began to read the Torah to him. And he's like, "Oh my gosh." And he ordered it to be read to everybody in the city. When they found that out, they said, "We need to celebrate Passover." So then they began to cleanse up everything. They get rid of all the pagan altars and all the terrible things that were going on at the time. And they had a great celebration of Passover. The Bible actually says there was never such a great Passover celebrated ever before. Josiah had the temple cleansed and repaired. He broke down all pagan images. He removed all priests who worshiped false gods, removed all wizards and all those with familiar spirits. He torn down the houses of the Sodomites, destroyed the image of Moloch and all the high places. Afterwards, Josiah made a covenant with God, and the priests began to eat unleavened bread in the temple again. Wow, you got to understand, you know, that when the priest would go in to the temple and to the table of showbread, there was unleavened bread on the table, and daily the priest would have to put new bread on there and eat the old bread. This is something that, you know, when depending on your order and what you were assigned to, you would go in there and either burn incense or light the menorah or eat the bread on the altar, and they rotated that around. On the table of showbread. So they began to eat unleavened bread again at that time. That was a big deal, because to eat unleavened bread indicates righteousness. Paul said, "You are unleavened." Why are we unleavened? Because Yeshua was our sacrificial Passover lamb, and he made us unleavened. And so that's why we are to eat unleavened bread all 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we'll talk more about here in a moment. And the shadows and types of that are amazing. Ezra 6:19 says, "Even the children of the Babylonian captivity kept Passover when they returned to the land." Then we learn in Ezekiel 45, verses 21 and 23, during the millennial reign of the Messiah, Passover is ordered to be observed. So when Yeshua is ruling out of the city of Jerusalem during the 1,000-year millennial reign, Passover will be observed. It says on the 14th of Nisan, that's the Hebrew month, Nisan, you'll keep Passover and unleavened bread for 7 days. So while Yeshua is reigning as king in Jerusalem, Passover and the Moed of unleavened bread will be observed with the appropriate sacrifices. All the acts of Hezekiah and Josiah serve as an example to all of us when it was taking place. So even though they cleanse the temple, what does that mean? Well, our bodies today are the temple of the Lord. So our bodies today, we have to cleanse this temple. We have to cleanse this temple all the time. It's hard for us to live perfect lives, but we can cleanse this temple on a daily basis. If you humble your heart before God, He will forgive you of your sins. And it's amazing when you start doing this, and He'll slowly give you a clean heart, a new heart, and you stop doing those things that you're not supposed to do. And right now, the way the world is getting, the last thing we want to happen to us is be caught with a sinful attitude or a sinful life when the trumpet sounds. Because once that happens, all our works will follow us at that time. And that's very important, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us, you know, that we have a foundation in Yeshua or Jesus Christ. It says, what do we build upon that foundation? Some build upon that foundation wood, hay, stone, and stubble. Others build upon it with gold, silver, and precious stones. When the fire of judgment from the Messiah comes, He will burn those works up. Only the gold, silver, and precious stones works will remain. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. So when that's all burned up, and thus whatever remains determines our position in the kingdom and our rewards that we will have, garments of light, the crowns, the thrones, all these kind of things. And so when He burns up our works, only the gold, silver, and precious stones remain. That's not talking about real gold or real silver, precious stones. It means the things that are important to God. They will remain, and thus our rewards will be determined off of that. So folks, once we have the Lamb of God and we're forgiven of our sins, we are now called to righteous works. We are now called to be unleavened. And so being unleavened means we don't have yeast in it. That's talking about being puffed up and proud. Pride, you know, pride is always a major issue with God. And so it's important for us to not be puffed up, but have unleavened bread all the days of our lives. So we'll be talking more about that here in a moment, about unleavened bread. But it's important that we understand these concepts, these Moedim concepts that's taking place. And why even on Passover they're required to only eat unleavened bread. As I said before, you must have three elements to have a true Passover. You must have the lamb, which today, in what they call the Seder that we do today, the order of the Seder, you have a lamb bone indicating the lamb. And then you also have to have bitter herbs, which is usually horseradish. And then you have to have the unleavened bread, which we call matzah. And so we have these things and we celebrate. When the Passover Seder begins, there's a ceremony that's called the search for the leaven. So the father grabs a feather and like a dustpan also, and he goes around, and the father will hide some leavened bread somewhere around the house, and the kids will follow him around. And when they find the leaven, they'll all say, "There it is, Dad. Oh, my gosh, get rid of it." And then he'll brush it with a feather onto the dustpan, and they'll take it outside and burn it. In symbolism, the feather representing the Holy Spirit. And then burning it, indicating that by the fire, you get rid of your sins. That's what it's all about. It teaches the kids a very good lesson to get the leaven out of the house. And I would teach them in a physical aspect, but I'm speaking of a spiritual aspect that we have to do that. So we got to get the leaven out. And in my congregation, we talk about that all the time. Get the leaven out, you know, when somebody says something they shouldn't have probably said, somebody say, "Get the leaven out." It's kind of funny. But it's a reminder all the time to get the leaven out of our lives. We got to get the leaven out. Because we are living, even today, we are living in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So as we're winding down here, next week I'll pick up on unleavened bread. So we'll be talking about unleavened bread next week. So God bless everybody. Remember to get the leaven out. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.
for such a time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.